I was so blessed in my upbringing. You know, you don't know. All you know is what you know, and you don't know until you get out and travel a little bit and look around and find out how blessed you were to have mothers, fathers, grandparents that care about you, stay with you, don't throw you away. It's such a gift. It's so wonderful. Both Phyllis' mother and my mother are now in heaven, and our fathers too. And none of us here for very long. And so it shouldn't be just a shock to us when somebody leaves. It's the way of all the earth. And instead of just grieving like there's no hope, what you want to do is be thankful for the time you had. Because it wasn't, you weren't guaranteed it. It wasn't promised to you. And especially no family's perfect and no father, mother's perfect. People have made mistakes, but thank God for the blood that washes away. Hallelujah. And he doesn't remember those things, and we don't have to remember them either. Y'all okay? Look with me, if you would. They'll put this on the screen as well. Ephesians, the sixth chapter. We've been on a series here on Sunday mornings for a number of weeks that we are calling The Fear of the Lord. And so in looking about today what we should speak on and minister on, with it being Mother's Day, the Lord showed me that this, a big part of what he said about mothers involves the fear of the Lord. And I hadn't seen it that clearly. So you ready to look with me at it?
Yes.
See what we're talking about?
Yes,
Ephesians is in the New Testament, did you know?
Yes,
and in Ephesians 6 and verse 1, he's quoting from Exodus and Deuteronomy in the Old Testament. And he's quoting it like it's true and applicable today. Because it is. In Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Some people have read other folks' books on child rearing and have adopted that as their guidelines and have ignored the Word of God. And that's a big mistake. God's got the most kids of anybody. And he knows how to raise them,
yes, sir,
and how to train them. And sometimes people have said, well, you know, don't tell a child because I said so. You know, well, God does all the time. He says, do this, do that. And if you say, why? Because I said so. Huh? Because there is the required element of trust. And little ones are supposed to learn that immediately when they're old enough to know anything dealing with their parents and siblings and life. So, no, you should not be reasoning and arguing and negotiating with children all the time.
Yes.
They should obey.
Yes.
O-B-E-Y. Do it. Now, no questions, no argument. If you don't do it that way, you are going to make it hard on them in life, whether they're dealing with their teachers or their coaches or their employers or the list goes on and on and on. If you let the world revolve around them, when they go out into the world, they're going to get a shock that it doesn't, and they won't know how to cope and to deal. Children, everybody say children.
Children.
Obey. And then the verse 2 says, honor your father and mother. Now, these are two different words. full-grown adults are not supposed to obey mother and father. They're supposed to honor. Not the same thing. Y'all with me? But children are supposed to obey. Children obey but honor always. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. And this, like I said, this is referring back to the Ten Commandments given in Exodus and in Deuteronomy recorded. One of the Ten Commandments, honor your father and mother. And it said it was the first commandment that was given with a promise. And verse 3, the promise is that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Is this true or not?
Yes.
Is your length of life affected by how you treat your parents?
Yes.
You believe it or not? The Almighty God spoke this audibly when fire came down on the mountain with the giving of the Ten Commandments written in stone. Of all the things in the world and universe that he could have said, he gave us ten. That covers so many areas. And this is one of them. Everybody say honor. Honor your father and your mother. Now, let me read this to you. Exodus 20, 12 is where that came from. Honor your father and mother that your days may be long on the land the Lord your God gives you. Deuteronomy 5, 16 repeats it but says it like this. Deuteronomy 5, 16, honor your father and mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be prolonged and that it may go well with you. Days prolonged. What does that mean? If you look up these words, we're going to see it more in just a bit. It means days added. Days and years added to your life. Now, you'll hear some people say that, you know, it's appointed unto man a time to die. And your time, it may be 3:30 in the afternoon on a Thursday. And when the clock hits that, you going, because it was your time. And it's like one person said that was hearing that. He said, well, you know, what if I'm on the airplane and it comes time for the pilot to die? You get into some sticky situations there. That idea that you've got a time, you know, 8 o'clock on a Saturday, whatever, that is not true. I said, that is not true. And that's not what the scripture said. It didn't say it's appointed unto man a time to die. It said it's appointed unto man once to die, not a specific time. And if you read Proverbs and other places, Psalms and Ecclesiastes, you'll find there are numerous scriptures that tell you that if you'll do certain things, your days will be prolonged. And Psalms, for instance, I think it's Psalm 55, it said, bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days. So there are things you can do that will shorten your life, and there are things that you can do that will extend your life, apart from diet and exercise. Not knocking diet and exercise, but that alone is not enough. How many people have there been that were so scrupulous over their regimen and yet died young and died midlife? I'm not knocking that. I'm just saying there's a lot more involved than the natural. And there is a God. And he said, if you want to live a long time and you want it to go well with you, do what? Honor your father and your mother. Y'all okay with this or not? Look in Leviticus, the 19th chapter, because I hadn't seen this. I'm not shocked that I hadn't seen something in the Word. There's a lot in there. But it blessed me that because it's what we've been talking about. And it's what's happening today. Leviticus 19 and 2. The Lord's telling them and telling us, speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Now, holy means a number of things. It means clean. It means pure. It also means separate and special. Separate. And he's talking about separate from an ungodly, unclean world that we live in. Be holy, for I, the Lord, your God, am holy. Verse 3, and you shall fear every man, his mother, and his father, and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. Fear your mother and your father. Now see, he had said in Exodus and Deuteronomy, honor your father and mother. Here he uses the word fear interchangeably with that idea. And he says it in connection with being separate. This is one of the things that separates us from the ungodly. In this dark world we live in, we show respect. That was 5 amens and 2 nods. I'd like a little better response. We show respect to our mothers and to our fathers, both naturally and spiritually. We show respect. The devil is such a distorted, perverted, evil and vile being. And those that are with him are like him. And they are, you don't have to wonder what the devil's like. Look around you at what he's influencing. And violence and profanity and uncleanness, this is of the devil. And you'll find that a number of the curse words are derogatory about mother. Huh? Why? Because with God, motherhood is holy. I said it's holy. Now, I'm not saying every mother has always done everything perfect and holy. But motherhood and fatherhood, true motherhood, fatherhood, has come from God. Amen. And you'll find that the enemy has done and continues to do everything he can to twist it, distort it, pervert it. Huh? Trying to say that men can be mothers and mothers can be fathers and everything's twisted and all the profanity and all of the junk. Well, you and I are in the world, but we're not conformed to the evil imaginations and beliefs of this world. We believe what the Lord has said about this. And he said, it is so holy that you are to fear mother, motherhood, fatherhood. You are to honor it and you are to fear it. What does that mean? You are to be in reverential awe of motherhood. Now, it's easy to take things for granted when it's all around you and it's happening all the time. But see, that's the enemy belittling and demeaning things. Oh, it's nothing. The terminology that's used instead of saying with child. You know, there's slang and all kind of the things that just running down and demeaning. When we speak of motherhood and conception and carrying a child and childbirth and nurturing a child. This is holy. Nobody has ever gotten here on planet Earth outside of this. As of this moment, I'm not aware that any human being was born in a test tube outside a mother's body. Hasn't happened. And, you know, there are complexities about this that man has not figured out. Ecclesiastes says, you do not know the way the bones grow in the womb. And that is a fact. You might be able to track it's at this stage and now it's at this stage. Yeah, but what caused it to begin? And what causes it to develop to the next part and the next stage? And we're going to read some scripture about that, but it is awesome. It is to be revered in a holy way. It is life itself.
Yes.
You can't do it. I can't do it, right? To cause something to develop from an embryo or in cells that you can't even see. They're so small until what's sitting in the chair beside you? Huh?
That's right.
This is something to hold reverently,
yes.
To be in awe of, not something to mock. Not something to make light of. You know, the Bible said about that, I'll just read, you don't have to turn to these. But we saw that the Lord said, you know, those that honor me, I will honor. And those that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. And we've seen that the opposite of fear of the Lord is despising. One definition of despising is to treat it lightly, to treat it like it's nothing, like it doesn't matter. This is an evil thing when you're talking about God, things that God holds in high esteem. If the Lord tells you to honor something, that means to Him it's important,
yeah.
It's significant. And there are many reasons why we should. But we should just trust Him,
yes.
Right? And say, if He says it's important, it's important.
Yes.
Well, of all the things He could have said, one of the 10 commandments is honor your father and your mother.
Yes.
Everything they've ever said and done, no. But the fact that He created fatherhood and motherhood and allowed you to come into the world. By this means. You did not get here by yourself. Y'all gonna help me preach this or not? Huh? No, you didn't. No, you didn't. First off, somebody didn't abort you, didn't destroy you, right? And then somebody carried you for months. Huh? Maybe in the hot summertime. Maybe when it was uncomfortable and had weird cravings. Pickles and ice cream. And everything. Right?
Yes, sir.
Wasn't all fun and games.
No.
Huh?
No.
Somebody went through those months and somebody gave birth and somebody nurtured you, nursed you, fed you, changed your stinky diaper. I want to hear somebody say, thank you, Lord. Huh? Huh? I want to hear somebody say, thank you, Lord. Right? Put up with this for years. Years. Chasing after you. My mom and my grandma told me, you know, when I was old enough to understand, that I really caused problems around there because I was an escape artist. They'd turn their back And where's Keith? Gone. And one day, my grandmother was chasing me down the street. I'm running, laughing as hard as I can laugh because I'm getting away. I'm so glad they didn't just say, ah, let him go. Let him go. Let him go. And who was it? Was it Sky that would throw all his stuff out the window?
Yeah.
Sky Parker that worked for us when he was a little boy. For some reason, he got to, I guess his window was up on the second floor. And then he would open the window and throw out every toy and everything in the room. He thought it was fun watching it go out the window. They'd go out and pick it all up and bring it in. And guess what? A day or two later, it's all out there in the yard again. Who puts up with such stuff? Mama. Mothers. And take it in stride. And not come apart. Somebody say, thank you, Lord. I respect motherhood. I thank you for it. We've been talking about honor and the fear of the Lord. Deuteronomy 27:16 says this. Deuteronomy 27:16 says, cursed be he that does what? Sets light by his father or his mother. It's not my old man or the old man or any other such thing. Don't let this corrupt world influenced by the disrespectful devil influence you. We don't talk like the world. We don't see things like they do. We don't refer to them like they do. Cursed be he that sets light by his father or his mother. And all the people will say, amen. Ezekiel 22 talked about this when a curse was about to come on the people there. He said, in you, this is Ezekiel 22:7, in you they have set light by father and mother. In the midst of you, they've dealt oppression with the stranger. They vexed the fatherless and the widow. You have despised my holy things and have profaned my Sabbaths. This was a nation that's about to be severely judged because they had turned loose of God's commands and were making little, making light. You know, the scripture talks about this. Proverbs 30, put that up, please. Proverbs 30, verse 11. You got time for some scriptures?
Oh, yes, sir.
The word stays with you forever. Amen. He said, there's a generation that curses their father and does not bless their mother. You should never, ever, ever, it doesn't matter what they do or don't do, ever do you curse your mother or your father, or you slap your mother, or you hit your father. Never. It doesn't matter what they do. You leave if you need to. But you don't hit your parents and you don't curse them. What? Out of respect for God.
Yes.
Come on, you're with me or not?
Yes.
Not just based on what they've done or haven't done. This is just based on what God told you to do.
That's right. Yes.
Never do you do such a thing. Even if they're out of control, even if they're off their rockers, you don't do that. There's a generation that curses their father and doesn't bless their mother. There's a generation that's pure in their own eyes, but they're not washed from their filthiness. They think they're okay, and they're twisted and messed up. There's a generation, oh, how lofty their eyes and their eyelids lifted up in pride. We see that generation around us. They'll say anything. They'll do anything. Somebody say, not me.
Not me.
Not me.
Not me.
You know, the Bible calls Eve the mother of all living. That right there eliminates racism.
Yeah, right?
Yep.
Yes, sir.
Y'all gonna help me with this or not? Huh? Amen. Now, if you've been around here, you know, we don't talk about this that often, but I've shared what the Lord said to me about this because I asked him, I inquired of him about this some years ago. And he gave me an answer. I asked him, why haven't we as a nation, why we still have as much trouble with racism as even decades ago? What's going on? And he said to me, I don't mean to hurt an audible voice, but he said, the root of racism is race. What do you mean? As long as you believe there are different races of human beings, you cannot get rid of racism. And if you believe there are different races, you don't believe the Bible. You don't believe in creation. You are an evolutionist. You believe man developed from animals. And if man developed from animals, then there are subspecies of human beings, with some being closer to the animal than the other, and we're still in the process of evolving into something else. These are lies. And they're evil. Yes. And it's the same reason that Hitler and the Nazis tried to kill all the Jews and everybody of color. And these are lies. Yes. Being a different shade of skin doesn't make you a different kind of human being any more than a different shade of hair or eye color. So I no longer use the terms black, white. I don't use them. I don't use them. I'm not black. I'm beige. Or white. I'm not white. I'm beige. And if you're dark skinned, you're probably not black. You're mocha. Huh? Yeah. You may know what I'm talking about. Yeah. And I've heard people say, well, you know, brother from another mother. Uh-uh. Brother from the same mama. Eve. Yeah. If you believe the Bible. Yeah. Well, how'd we wind up with different skin? How'd we wind up with different hair? Different eye color. I don't know. I don't know that I need to know. I know this. A human being is a human being. There are no subspecies. Huh? Because why do you say that? Because of the Bible. The Bible. That's the book. I see somebody's had the same Sunday school class I had. Huh? What is it? I stand alone on the Word of God. The B-I-B-L-E. Who knows that song? I want to see a hand. Oh, look, wow. It's almost everybody in the house. Put up Acts 17 and 26. Amen. Who can lift a hand and say, Eve is my mama? What does that make me and you? There you go. Huh? Whatever you may think, then evolution is a lie. Huh? It is. I know it's taught like it's a fact, but it's not a fact. It's an unproven theory. One thing that's confusing to people is the fossil records. There were whole generations of beings that weren't human before we got here, with the dinosaurs and all that stuff. And where did all these demon spirits come from? And there's a whole bunch of stuff there. We're not told all about that, but all you got to look and see, there was a time when dinosaurs roamed the earth. A lot of things have happened before we got here. One thing that didn't happen, monkeys turning into humans. That didn't happen. I'm going to quit talking about that. Acts 17, 26. The Lord has made of what? One blood, all nations of men to dwell on the face of the earth. So when you're talking about pure blood, what is that? Doesn't exist. Hmm? All human beings are from one blood. Adam, Eve. Is that right? All, how many believe the Bible? This is New Testament. Book of Acts. He's made of one blood. I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but people with brown skin, red blood. People with, darker skin, reddish skin, red blood. People real pale, red blood. Huh? And on all the face of the earth, he has determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. And that's one of the reasons we haven't reached outside our solar system yet. We barely got out of our backyard. God has ordained. What am I talking about? When you were born and where you were born and the people you were born to. All of that is not a random accident. Why were you not born in the 1200s or the 1400s or 1600s? Why are you born now? Somebody say, thank you, Lord, for things like air conditioning. Whoa! Indoor plumbing. Hey! You ought to be thanking God all day. Huh? You got to be born now. Now, now's got its issues too, but the places and times appointed, we can trace our lineage all the way back to Adam and Eve, all the way back to Noah, and our spiritual heritage to Abraham, and of course, Jesus. His is the blood that unifies the family, cleanses the family, redeems the family. That's the blood that matters. And the life is in the blood. His eternal life is there. But I want you to notice with me, go to the book of Psalms. Are you in a big rush today? Or somebody got a roast in the oven? Or I don't know. Well, Mama's not supposed to work a bunch today, right? I mean, yeah, right. So, and it is entirely appropriate when Mom has, especially when Mom has cooked or done things, or Grandma, for kids and grandkids to clean that place up.
That's good.
Huh? Yeah. Not just run off and leave the table. I'm going to see if these folk like that any better. Huh? Amen. Clean the plates. Pick stuff up. Sack the trash. Huh? I mean, it's entirely right. Entirely right. It's not right for kids to lay around and do nothing. It's another message, another series. The title of that series is Get Up and Get to Work. Anybody ready for that? That's it. Where'd you come up with that? It is written in the New Testament, if you don't work, you don't eat. That's scripture. I'm preaching what my father in the faith, Brother Hagin, used to call a splatter barrel today. I'm over here, I'm over there. But he also used to say sometimes these side journeys help us as much as the main thing. Go with me to the book of Psalms. And 139, I believe it is. Yeah, Psalm 139. And notice something. We're talking about, he said, honor your father and mother. He also said, fear your mother and your father. Now, I guess there is the element when I was a little boy and I had gone too far and Mama said, go get me a switch. There was an element of fear there. But we were never abused at all. And But that's not what he's talking about. He's using that word fear in as an exchange word for honor. And we know that honor is a significant part of the fear of the Lord. And to honor it means it's a big deal to you. You don't despise it. You don't make light of it. You value it. You reverence it. Well, what should you reverence about motherhood? Many things. Like we've already said, how did you get here? How were you born? It's easy to take it for granted because babies are being born all over the place all the time. But you can't make that happen. We can't make that happen. God did that. Anybody glad to be here?
Yes.
Okay, how'd you get here? By way of the womb of a mother. Well, should you respect that? And never talk foolishly about it or make fun of it. And should you ever use a cuss word that's derogatory about mother? What an ignorant thing. But see, people hear so much worldly stuff and ungodly stuff and movies and all this kind of stuff. The enemy is intending to desensitize you to the word, and he even tries to make it cool. Cussing cool. Are tough. It ain't cool. It ain't tough. It's idiotic. Yes. Who would ever speak defamatory about their mother? Who would ever use a word or a phrase that says something bad and negative about their mother? Somebody say, not me.
Not me.
I'm not stupid. That's what I thought.
Psalm 139 and 13.
Revelation came through this psalm about what happens in conception and the development of a baby. He said, you have possessed my reins, and the reins are the insides. You have covered me in my mother's womb. That peace and that presence and that quietness. Life comes from God. And the presence of God accompanies this and actually is making it possible minute by minute for the embryo to grow into a baby. Each stage of that is miraculous.
Yes.
It is. It is absolutely miraculous. Where does a bone come from? Huh? Anybody got a bone in their leg? Huh? A good one. Bones are astounding. I mean, I'm a pilot and we fly, and the big thing about airplanes is the material has to be strong, but it's got to be light. Because too heavy and nothing works. And so, steel is too heavy. But they've developed alloys of aluminum that are amazingly light and amazingly strong. And now they're going to composites where the whole wing is made out of carbon fiber. And it's light and strong. But do you know what? Bones are still the lightest, strongest thing around. Why? The engineer.
Yes.
The one that designed it. You ought to look in, if you're interested about more of this, look into birds. Animals that fly. Look at them, because some of them, they just weigh a few ounces. And yet, their bones, and they're hollow. But they are so strong, they're stronger than steel. For the same weight and dimension. Amazing. And barely weigh anything. So should you and I respect that? Should we be in where, you know, there was a point where you had no bones. Let's back this up. Let's rewind. Huh? There was a time when your head didn't exist. Your heart didn't exist. Your lungs, your bones, your hips, your hands, you had no fingers. You had no. There was a time when you couldn't be seen with the naked eye. And he says, Lord, you possessed my reins, my insides, and you covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you. This is the fear of the Lord. I will praise you. Why? I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Where did that happen? Inside your mother. A miracle happened.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Somebody say fearfully.
Fearfully.
What does that mean? See, this is the word we've been looking at. Fear. He said, fear your mother, father. Fear the Lord. What is this? It is, it's beyond, yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, that's impressive. It's beyond that. It's, you're in awe of it. And you touch a greatness. What kind of being can do that? What kind of power, what kind of knowledge and wisdom and understanding does it take to create that out of dirt? I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows right well. I want everybody here, everybody in Sarasota, everybody watching online, I want to hear you say this out loud. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works. Amazing. And that my soul knows right well. I know it's true. No human being has ever made anything like this. God made us. He made Adam. And he made Eve. And Eve is the mother of all living. That makes you Bubba. And Sissy.
Yep.
Huh? All of us. And the way we got here, he goes into other detail. Verse 15. My substance. Now this is before there was anything material to see under a microscope. All material, physical, is made out of unseen substance. We have no record of anything that spontaneously self-created from nothing. That's never happened. It never will. The Bible said in Hebrews 11 that God made the things that are seen not out of nothing. He made them out of things that are not seen. And that the things that are seen, this is the temporary stuff. All of this is transitory, temporary. It's made out of substance you can't see, which is eternal. And so before there was a body, there was the substance to create it out of that God made, that God saw. Keep reading. My substance was not hid from you, from you, God, when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. We don't understand this, but everything in our body came out of the ground. The materials, the minerals, the everything. In fact, everything on top of the ground came out of the ground. The chair you're sitting on. Is that right? The wood. The car you drive home on. The metal came out of the ground. Is that right? In your engine, in your frame, all of it came out of the ground. And God saw in the ground. He could see brains, yeah. Kidneys. Woo. Yeah. Huh?
Hallelujah.
When God looks at it, it's all there. You see dirt.
Right.
It should make us respect dirt. Is that right? Don't treat dirt like it's nothing. It's what we came out of. My substance was not hid from you. Your eyes, verse 16, your eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect, and in your book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there were none of them. God wrote the list of your parts before they existed. They didn't exist yet. And he even continues to track you down to the number of hairs. On your head. What kind of being can keep all the stars burning in all the vast galaxy and track your head? And why would he? It matters to him. We are significant to him. We are worth saving to him. We're worth redeeming to him. And here's something many have not understood. This body, I want you to put your hand on it somewhere. Touch it. This body is an eternal part of the body of Christ. This one, the one you're touching right now, has been bought and paid for. And redeem. This, somebody said, well, no. I'm getting rid of this and I'm getting a new body. It'll be this body glorified. It'll be this one. We should respect our body. You can't make it. You didn't give it to yourself. Let me read this to you from some other translations. The Lamsa translation says, your eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect, and upon your books all these things were written before the day was, and man was brought into existence. All my members were written, which day by day were fashioned, when as yet there were none of them. Does he know the end from the beginning?
Yes.
It's amazing. Why would he care? Well, God is a God of order. He's a God of perfection.
Amen.
When he makes something, he has a plan for it into eons of future.
Yeah.
And that's me and you.
Yes.
This body is going to be glorified.
Yes.
And without mama, you wouldn't have got this far. Somebody say, thank you, mother. Thank you. Huh? He said, you fashioned my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I thank you because I am awesomely made, wonderfully. Your works are wonders. I know this very well. Come on, say it again. I am. Fearfully.
And wonderfully.
Made. I will praise you, Lord. I will reverence you for these things. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Just lift up your hand. Just praise him for a little bit more. Father, we thank you. We bless you. We praise you. We glorify you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. In closing, I think. Go look at Proverbs 10. They'll put it on the screen for us. We had read in Leviticus 19 where he said, you shall fear every man his mother and father. And where he had said twice before that, honor mother and father. What is the promise that comes from observing the commandment? You will live long.
Yeah.
One said your days would be prolonged on the earth.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it would go well with you. Why is this? You're supposed to learn the fear of the Lord in the earliest days of your life with your mother and father. If you don't learn it at home and in the family for the first 10, 15 years of your life, in many cases, people never learn it after that. You can. I'm not saying you can't. But have you ever noticed a lot of times the older people get, the more resistant they are to change? There is a thing of getting set in your ways. Don't have to be, but people do. They've been that way for 30 years. They've been that way for 50 years. A lot of times they're not even interested in changing. And how you start off is so many times the way you keep going. And the Lord wants you to learn honor and reverence when you're 1 year old. Huh? When you're two, when you're three, and if you learn it and you get it, it's easy when you're old enough to know God for yourself to transfer what you've learned directly to Him. And you show Him respect. Because you've just learned respect. You've learned honor. In Proverbs, the 10th chapter, it says, verse 27, Proverbs 10:27, the fear of the Lord does what? Prolongs days. But the years of the wicked, what will happen? They'll be shortened. Young's literal translation says, the fear of the Lord adds days. Is this true? Learning how to show respect to what God respects. Learning to value what God values. Learning to watch your mouth, how you talk about things, how you treat people, how you treat things, will have a direct result and effect on how long you live. And how good a life you have. How well it goes with you. How many believe the commandment? Honor the Lord. Honor your mother and father. And what will happen? You'll live long on the earth. And it'll go well with you. And if you need to discipline young ones because they're not showing respect and they're not listening, it's good to preface it with this. Read the scripture and say, dear, I want you to live a long time. Huh? I want it to go good for you, which is why I'm not giving in to you. And that's why you're going to be disciplined. That's why it's going to cost you something. Huh? Because we got to get this fixed. Because the longer it goes, the worse it gets. Harder it is on everybody. Proverbs 9 and 10. Proverbs 9 and 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Now, this is also, would it matter if you're a dummy or if you're full of wisdom as to how good a life you have?
Yeah.
Well, this is connected right back to the fear of the Lord. Look at verse 11. For by me your days shall be multiplied.
Yeah.
Now, addition is good.
Yeah.
Multiplication is even much more better. By me your days shall be multiplied and the years of your life shall be increased.
Yes.
Does it matter if you smart mouth, back talk your mother, your father, if you curse and if you're rebellious And if you won't listen to your pastors and your spiritual leaders, and you won't listen to your teachers and your coaches, and you won't listen, will that affect how long you live?
Yes.
It will, whether you think so or not. It can be as simple as not doing something stupid and dying young. This is happening every day on the earth. People full of pride. Somebody dared them to do something. How many young people died because of such stuff? But see, if you're learning and growing in the fear of the Lord, another effect of that is you begin to be stable and secure. Huh? You're not insecure. So you're not so easily challenged. And you can laugh when somebody says, "What are you, chicken? Pock, 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 pock." You say, "You look really dumb when you do that. I'm going home." All this junk about, nobody calls me chicken. Well, they just did. It's too late for that. Pride. Pride will kill you. Pride will cut you off before your time.
Yes.
Or at the very least, cause you to tear up your car,
yeah.
Lose your money, have to go to the emergency room. But the reverence and fear of the Lord, that'll protect you.
Yes.
That'll keep you at the right place at the right time.
Yes.
That'll make you secure.
Yes.
And it'll go well with you.
Yes.
Oh, hallelujah. And if anybody brings up your mother, huh? All of us have made mistakes, but somebody helped you get here. Is that right?
Amen.
Your mother, your grandmother, your stepmother, whoever it might be, your spiritual mother, somebody helped you.
Yes.
Helped you get here, and you and I should always respect that.
Yes.
And always speak reverently about it.
Yes.
Hmm?
Yes. Amen.
And if we do so, those that honor him, he honors.
Yes.
Stand on your feet, everybody.